Our speaker tonight, Bill Archer, he's on staff at Blackhawk Ministries. I think he told me it'll be 40 years next year. He's been there a few days, and he's originally from Ohio. I forgot to ask him the most important question, if he's related to anyone in Bern. Maybe he can tell you that on his own. But he'll be presenting a series of times over four Wednesday nights. We're glad that he's here, and he's able to share with us. Bill, Lord bless you.
Good evening. And to my knowledge, I am not related to anybody in Bern, but there's a lot of people in Bern that I don't know, so there you never know. I'm delighted to be here tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to teach this series. It's something that is dear to my heart. I've been teaching for a little over five decades, and I'm only 39 years old, so there's a problem with one of those. I'm not sure which one it is. You can make your own judgment on that. This study will be available on my website if you have any interest in reviewing it, maybe on a slide-by-slide basis, because to save trees, we didn't print all the slides out for you tonight, just the final slide. If you're interested in going after any of them, you can get them off the website. You can print them, use them as you will. I have the websites up front here on the pew. You can grab one after the service if you would like. The website is timelesstruthfortoday.com, all one word. And if you just type that into your computer bar, it'll come up. There are about 700 study notes there, over 700 study notes on Bible studies from Old Testament, New Testament, all kinds of things. So if you find other things that are useful to you there, I would encourage you to do that. In our study that we're going to have over these next few weeks, the scriptures are all going to be listed in NIV. As I understand, that's your primary scripture use here, and that's beautiful. There are places in the slides where I quote the scriptures, and I will, for emphasis and teaching, I may underline or put some emphasis in there. Some of them will be italicized, some will be underlined. Just want to make it clear that that's not part of the scriptures. They're not printed that way in your Bible. I'm just doing that, taking teaching license, if you will, just to make it a little clearer. We're going to study, as it shows you on that slide, on the opening slide, we're going to study an overview of prophecy. So I'm going to give you this caveat to begin with. The study is an overview, so there will be some here who will be disappointed because they want more detail. And there will be others here who will be disappointed because they got too much detail. So I just want you to know that to the best of my ability, I'm going to drive down the middle of the road. And if you have questions, I would encourage you to ask. You can come up afterward. I'll be glad to talk to you there. The backbone of this study is going to be all from four verses in Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24, 25, 26, and 27, which sounds like it's not very much. And this verse always amazes me, this passage does. Because on the one hand, it seems so simple. I mean, it's only four verses. How complicated can it be? But when you get into it, it is astoundingly complicated, detailed. And we're going to try to unravel some of that for you tonight, and we won't get through all of it. We're going to get through a couple of these verses. So here's the here's where we're going to start. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 24. Verse 24 says, there are 70 sevens. Some of your Bibles may say weeks, and that's okay. That's a legitimate interpretation. 70 weeks is you generally was used in the King James Version. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to do a number of things. Number one, finish transgression. Number two, to put an end to sin. Number three, to atone for wickedness. Number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up vision and prophecy. And number six, to anoint the most holy. Now, each one of those things is a key to the remaining verses in this passage. Someone taught me a long time ago that many times the keys to understanding a passage are hanging on the front door. And, you know, you kind of think about that and you think, well, okay. But that's really true here. Because as we look at Daniel 24, 5, 6, and 7, the keys to understanding this are hanging right here on the front door. I want you to look at this verse. 77s are determined or decreed for your people, and that would be the Jews. Daniel was a Jew, his people were the Jews. And your holy city, and when you see that in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, the holy city is always Jerusalem. So this passage, this prophecy that was given to Daniel by the angel, is about the Jews and Jerusalem. It is critical that we understand that, because if we try to make it about the church or something else, we're just going to get into a pit that we can't get out of. This is about the Jews and about Jerusalem. And the 77s are the total thing, and it's kind of like a clock, a timer, that God has determined. And we need to know what starts the clock, what ends the clock, and what are the various points in the middle. And we're going to see if we can't see some of those. So let's look at verse 25. The first thing that the angel gave to Daniel is verse 25, which I have highlighted just the first part. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So we're just going to take that phrase, that much of it. That's what I refer to as 25a. And we're going to see if we can find that on our timeline. And so over on the left is Daniel 9:25a. The decree is given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And so I put a vertical line there to start our timeline. That's when the clock starts. And I want you to notice in that is recorded in Scripture in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If you have your Scriptures, that's fine. Or it's on the screen, and I'll read verses 7 and 8. This is an account of Nehemiah, who was one of the Jews who was taken captive by the Babylonians. He was a cupbearer to the king, and he came into the king's presence, and the king noticed that he was sad, which was very often fatal. Nehemiah said, he was asked why he was sad, and he said, because my home, Jerusalem, and my temple are in rubbles. So in verse 7, Nehemiah says, I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me a safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy? And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. That is the decree that was given to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And we know from history, historians and geologists have done all kinds of studies and research, and that date has been set on our calendar as March the 5th in the year 444 BC. So 444 years before Christ. So let's kind of make some notes to ourselves here. First of all, the 77s are decreed upon the Jews and Jerusalem, not the church. Number two, the clock starts with the decree and it ends with Christ being anointed as the most holy King of Kings, or it could be as the temple being anointed as the Holy of Holies, the place. The exact translation of that timing is not clear. There are just different opinions on that. Some believe it's Christ, some believe it's the structure. The dates are historical, and the sevens are what the word there in Hebrew means when it says 77s. The word sevens means literally a group of seven. That's the literal meaning of the word in Hebrew. So that does not define it as anything. It could be a group of 7 days, could be a group of 7 years, could be a group of 7 months, could be a group of seven anything. So with this information alone, we can't decipher what the sevens are, but it's not long until we are able to define precisely what it is. And we'll see that as we go on through these studies. So if we move on to the next portion of the slide, we're going to see that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, after it says, "No one understand this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one," and I've highlighted that, made it bold, underlined it, made it red. And the reason I'm doing that is I want to emphasize to you that is the name of Christ. So what this verse is saying is from the time that decree is issued until Christ, the ruler, comes, there will be how many? 7 sevens and 62 sevens. So over here on the chart, on your timeline, you see the 7 sevens and the 62 sevens. Now, if we add those together, voila, we come up with 69. Now, the question is, what happened to the other week, right? There's 77s have been determined, and what the passage has given us so far is only the first 69. So everybody with me on that? We've covered up to this point in the passage 69 weeks. Now, we're going to do some a little bit deeper dive here, because I have a point that I want to make, and that is that 69 years is 69 weeks, if they are 7 years, would be 483 years. And if you convert that to days by the Jewish calendar, and that would have to be done by the Jewish calendar, in a Jewish calendar, every month always has 30 days, period. That's the reason their months don't line up with our months. And that goes back, the reason for that goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. So these 69 sevens are 483 years, 173,880 days. That's an important number of days to remember. So having that as a background, now we need to know, try to establish what this means, because it says after 173,880 days, what happens? The anointed one, the ruler, Christ, comes. Well, let's take a look at that and see if it works. If you look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 through 8, Matthew quotes here a passage from Zechariah. So verse 5 is a direct quote from Zechariah 9:9. Reading from verse 4. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Does that sound like what he said back here in Daniel? That's when the king comes. This is referred to in our New Testament days. We look back at this as what is called the triumphal entry. This is when Christ comes to the nation of Israel, and he is presented to them as their king, as their Messiah. Now, the date for that, very interestingly, is given by geologists and so forth as March 30th, 33 A.D. And if you calculate the number of days between March 5th, 444 B.C., and March 30th, 33 A.D., and allow for leap years and all the stuff that goes on in there, and by the way, if you're interested in that, it's in another one of my studies. I got the full breakdown of that by people a lot smarter than me. Then you will find that it is 173,880 days. Daniel's prophecy was not only exact, it was precisely exact to the day. When you think of 483 years, our country is about 200 years old plus. So if you go back from this date and go back to the beginning of our country, 1776, go back 200 years before that, somebody is going to stand there and give a prophecy about how our next election is going to come out. Now, what do you think the odds are of that? I mean, zero. But that's what happened here. What Daniel was given by the angel was the exact day, 173,880 days later, that Christ would enter Jerusalem. And all God's people said, Amen. So in verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others broke branches, and this is what we celebrate today as Palm Sunday. So all of this is exactly according to Scripture. The notes on this. Number one, the Anointed One is the Messiah. He is the Christ. The triumphal entry is the official offer to the Jews of their Messiah. This is an important point that we need to understand. This is when Christ was presented to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. The first seven sevens were 49 years, and that was the time that it took to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's actually historical. The next 62 sevens are the consecutive remaining years of the 69. And the 69 sevens is 483 years, 173,880 days. And it fulfills the Jewish and the Gentile calendars to the day. Let's go to the next slide. This is where the precision of these four verses is just staggering. We just looked at after the seven sevens and the 62 sevens, it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. And that's recorded in Nehemiah. You can find that in Nehemiah chapter 4. When they rebuilt Jerusalem, they literally had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. I mean, they were persecuted. It was a really tough time. But notice what it says in verse 26, Daniel 9:26. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One, and who's that? That's Christ. After the 62 sevens, which is really after the 69 total sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. Now, I don't know whether that I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us what Daniel's reaction to this was. Daniel was a godly man, and for him to hear these words, I think must have just floored him. Because the word cut off in Hebrew is a word that is specifically dedicated and used for the execution of a criminal. When they executed somebody who was guilty of murder or somebody who was guilty of whatever, there was a capital of punishment, this is the word that was used. So look at what this is saying. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be executed. That's not what they're looking for, are they? The Jews are looking for a Messiah, a king, to trample the Romans and make everything right. And this verse says, no, he's going to come, he's going to be executed, and he's going to have nothing. He's not going to have a kingdom. Is that what happened? Absolutely. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, is cut off. And he will have nothing. The Jews did not receive him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, as John says. And number five on that note is the staggering one. The Jews have rejected their own Messiah. I don't know how Daniel handled that, truthfully. Even today, as we read these verses and we look at that time and we see all that transpired in the build-up to this event, it's staggering. And to put it in the context of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, it is even more staggering. So here's what happened. After the last 62 sevens, the Messiah is cut off. If you look at Luke chapter 23, verses 18 through 21, kind of sums up what you find in all of the four Gospels and most of the New Testament. Luke records for us, "With one voice they cried out, 'Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!'" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him!" That was the execution, the preferred Roman method of execution for criminals. It was one of the worst forms of execution that has ever been devised by man. Daniel saw it coming. And by the way, the prophecies of Daniel were open scripture that were given to all the Jews. They all saw it. And you have to stand back and say, well, why didn't they see this? And the answer is because God hid it from them. That's what Paul teaches in the book of Romans. He specifically hid these things from the Old Testament, but he has now revealed them to us. We can look back with 20/20 hindsight and see exactly what was going on. So now after the anointed one is cut off, which we have on a chart there as the crucifixion, what does Daniel record next? "The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come like a flood." So the ruler who will come is not the anointed one. I want you to note that for sure. This is another ruler. So who is this ruler who will come? And we'll find out as we go on through this and other passages of Scripture that this ruler who will come is also known to us today as the Antichrist. This is the ruler who will come. And notice what it says here. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, this Antichrist will come during the tribulation period. And the people of him destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And this happened in 70 A.D. This is a historic record. It is a major point. What was happening in Jerusalem at this time, this is about 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ. We haven't looked at the church yet. We're going to do that in our next study. Because the church starts after the crucifixion. But this destruction of Jerusalem and the temple occurs in 70 A.D., so it's about 40 years after the cross. And it was by a man named Titus, because what was going on here is there were rebels in Jerusalem, and they were rebelling against the Roman government. And the Caesar said, fix it. So they sent Titus in, and he brought a huge army in, and that army just came in like a flood, which is exactly what Daniel said. He came from one end, and he just destroyed Jerusalem. He burned it. He burned everything. He burned the temple. And as the temple was burning, the gold in the temple, and it was filled with gold, much of that gold melted and ran down, and the walls were filled in the cracks in the where the mortar would be. The gold filled the cracks. So now we find out why the rest of this happened. This was foretold by Jesus in Matthew 24. Let's read that one. In Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its building. They were going to brag for a minute to Jesus about this beautiful temple, and it was gorgeous. It was one of the wonders of the world. And Jesus says in verse 2, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another, but every one will be thrown down. And you know why the soldiers came in there and tore all the stones down? To get the gold out of the mortar. They literally dissected that whatever was left of the temple. So Jesus foretold the exact same thing with more detail, but Daniel foretold it 483 plus years before that. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come like a flood. Now, we're going to just throw in a little bit of an extra here. Now, there's no charge for this. It's just a freebie. You notice that the people of the ruler who will come, we know who destroyed the city. That was the Romans. So who is the Antichrist going to rise from when he comes on the scene? When he does come, who are his people going to be? What does Daniel say? It's going to be the Romans. The people of the ruler who is going to come will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. So he will come out of the nations of the Roman Empire, which covers quite a bit of territory, so it doesn't narrow it down too much for us. So what happens after that? According to Daniel, war will continue until the end. And desolations have been decreed. So Daniel gets the bad news here. Not only is your Messiah going to be executed, the temple is going to be destroyed, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and from there all the way to the end, it's going to be nothing but wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, 6 through 8. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that, to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. You know, truthfully, a lot of this that is given in Scripture about the details of things that are coming are really uncomfortable. But Paul, in his letters to the various churches, he talks about our blessed hope. And so at this point in time, as we look at these scriptures, we could easily become a little bit discouraged. But I just want to tell you, there's better things coming. There's better things coming. Somebody said, this is not the end, but you can see it from here. And I think that's a very good observation. So here's where we are. Verse 24, 77s are decreed upon your people, Daniel, the Jews, your city, Daniel, holy city, Jerusalem, to put an end to sin, your sin, as Jews, to atone for wickedness, your wickedness, Jews, you have rebelled against me. By this point in time, when Daniel wrote this, the Jews had been rebelling against the Lord for literally centuries. To atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. So that's where it's all headed. No one understands this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. No kingdom, no people, nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. So the question now is, what's next? What else does Daniel tell us? And we have this nagging little issue. In Daniel 9:24, how many sevens did it say were decreed? 70. And how many have we seen so far? 69. So a little bit of quick math says we got one left. We got one more week hanging out there. It's sort of the dangling week. And if you're a student of prophecy, you'll find this referenced many times as Daniel's 70th week. It is the last week in this prophecy. And then the question that you and I are probably most interested in is, what about the church? This is all about the Jews, right? And that is true. This is all about the Jews. But what about the church? How does it fit? And the answer to that is, come back next week. And we'll give you edition number 2, which is going to show us the church, how the church gets started, how the church exists today, where it's headed, how it's going to end, and then what happens to that 70th week. That's what, as far as Daniel is concerned, I'm sure he was most concerned about. And Daniel, by the way, Daniel never knew about the intervening church. The church, as Paul describes it in the book of Romans, the church was part of the mystery of God. The mystery of God is defined in the book of Ephesians as a truth that was hidden in the Old Testament, but is now revealed to us. So it's not a mystery to us. but it was a mystery to the Jews. And so the church is hinted at in the Old Testament, but they couldn't see it. Now, obviously, we're in the church, and we can look back and we can understand it very clearly, but they could not. Next week, we'll start unraveling that piece. Pastor Jim?